State officials in Utah closed their Hurricane Katrina evacuation shelter this week after the last of the state's New Orleans evacuees moved into apartments. Utah couldn't be more different from New Orleans, given snowy winters, dry air, skyscraping mountains, a comparatively sedate culture, and very few African Americans, less than 1% of the population. But many evacuees have decided to stay. From Salt Lake City, NPR's Howard Berkus reports.
4 weeks ago today, a KC-135 Air National Guard refueling plane sat on the tarmac at the New Orleans airport as guardsmen ushered 51 hurricane survivors aboard. Reporter Jonathan Brown of public radio station KCPW was there.
A lot of these people are tired. They are ready to go anywhere, but they don't know where they're going. We're not allowed to tell them their destination.
Brown asked pilot Jason Oswald why.
We've had some serious problems with some of the more unruly people. So we've come to the conclusion that we just don't tell them. We just take them out to the various aircraft and we disperse them to places where they have a better chance to live, more or less.
Which seemed to suit evacuee John Seal.
They ain't tell us nothing. They just told us we're going to board a plane. Now where we going, at, really, we don't care as long as we get out that water. It stinks in New Orleans. Them dead bodies floating around. It ain't nothing nice.
Close to 600 people, African Americans mostly, were put on flights like this to Utah, 1,200 miles from the French Quarter. Here, Jazz is the name of the basketball team, and Saints are Mormon faithful. Think Jell-O salad, not gumbo. But Curtis Crosby of New Orleans' Lower Ninth Ward is ready to get a Utah passport.
And I'm a Utah now, you know? After being in 20, 25 feet of water, the next thing I know, I'm 5,000 feet up in the air. I'm in the mountains. Spring water coming out the faucet. They got a desert across the street where I can dry out. What more could I ask for? Y'all had the perfect solution for Katrina.
It isn't perfect for everyone. Despite clean and safe quarters at a National Guard base and more than 900 volunteers attending to every need, about half the group left right away for familiar places and faces. Those who stayed say they've been overwhelmed by the help and goodwill. Kenneth Watts owned a hauling business in New Orleans.
There were a bunch of people when we got off of the airplane, and they applauded us. They clapped. These people are so hospitable. They've definitely impressed me to a point where I want to stay in Utah.
Watts spoke in the community room of the National Guard shelter, TVs blaring in the background. He was about to move into an apartment complex in a Salt Lake City suburb. He didn't take lightly his decision to stay, doing research about Utah, learning about an active earthquake fault, the persistent practice of polygamy, the predominantly white and Mormon population, and a racist Mormon belief that was part of church policy until 1978.
Because of the tragedy, a lot of people have been over backwards, but I'm not sure about the long term. Being African American, being in this particular part of America, and having a Caucasian wife, hopefully the people won't mess with us because of that.
Watts believes the hospitality will last given the generosity and warmth he's seen so far. He's not so sure about the weather, with 20-degree lows in January and more than 5 feet of snow each winter. But there are jobs with better pay and neighborhoods with little crime. There are even mosques for Muslims and black churches for Baptists. Ernest Timmons was a social worker in New Orleans.
A lot of us whose lives were destroyed in New Orleans, we have an opportunity to build on that. You know, instead of going back and say, well, I have to look for a job. Those things are being offered here. I mean, it's a great opportunity if you want to restructure your life. The doors are open a little bit wider here than they were in New Orleans for me.
Timmons says he'll miss New Orleans music and food, but maybe not for long. Several evacuees are talking about opening restaurants, and Salt Lake City's Main Street has already sounded a bit like Bourbon Street, at least for one night. Just 2 weeks after their exodus, about a dozen evacuees with borrowed instruments danced and sang in a Mardi Gras procession. There's some uncertainty as evacuees transition now from guests to neighbors, but it's hard to imagine them or their new home ever being the same. Howard Berkus, NPR News, Salt Lake City.